We miss it. Thank God for the times we get it. Listen, when we say it, just say, thank you. That way, when we got it, you're going to rejoice with us. If we didn't get it, no harm, no foul. Because you looked at us and said, they're not God. Now, this might happen or it might not. But we're going to wait until we hear from God to know. Because the will of God is inevitable. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, I'm saying that again. So, people can just settle down, take a deep breath, relax, and serve the Lord and be happy. Hello? Amen. Praise God. And so, I'm not trying to bring you any psychology, but we need to be happy, happy, happy. Praise God. I'm just telling you, we need to be happy. And you're not going to be happy as long as you feel like you have to chase God and get His attention and say, hey, it's me. Remember? You forgot me. What's going on for my life? Hey, you don't have to chase anything. You don't have to body slam God. And He already knows the end from the beginning. And so what our responsibility to do is be on time, every time. Make up our mind, serve the Lord, live for God. And one of these great getting up mornings, evenings, late at night, whenever it is, you're going to hear the voice of God. And He's going to say, this is what I've had planned for you all along. And you're going to say, even so, let it be. Thy will, not my will, Lord. Hey, trust me. My God is no respecter of persons. If He can tell me what I'm supposed to do, He can tell you what you're supposed to do. And until then, lift your hands and let's give God praise. Let's lift up the name of the Lord. He's not going to pass you by because you did not beg Him for His will today. Now on the flip side of the coin, it's like this. Some of us hone in on what we really want to do. And then we get in pursuit for God. God, what is your will? They asked me to preach over here, and they asked me, and I went over there and I preached, and I'm ready to do that. I'm ready. Tell me, Lord, tell me I'm called to. Hey, listen, don't do that. That will stress you to death. Amen. And so, hey, a young man preach for Brother Booth. I came right after this young man. He preached for Brother Booth in Nacogdoches, Texas, and right in the middle of a red hot revival, Brother Booth said that young man, he had it. I mean, he was moving the crowd. People were getting the Holy Ghost left and right. We were baptizing folks. And he said, I was so troubled in my heart about him, I didn't know what to do. And he said, finally, I sat him down in my office and I told him what I felt. He looked at that young evangelist. He said, son, he said, I don't know what I'm feeling. He said, but I honestly believe it came from God. And he said, son, he said, you're not called to preach. He said, you're not called to preach. He said, if somebody tries to do that stuff and they're not really called to do it, it is going to be so much stress. That young man burst out in, Brother Booth, he said, he burst out in tears. Tears everywhere while he was reaching in his wallet. He reached in his wallet and he pulled out his preaching credentials for the UPCI and he thumped them right there on that pastor's desk. And he said, sir, you don't know how long I've been waiting for somebody to tell me that. He said, my mama called me to preach. And he said, my mama's not God. And he said, I cannot take the pressure. You hear me, and until you hear the clarion call of God for whatever He has for you, you stand still and wait. I don't care if you're 30 years old, 40 years old, or if you're 80 years old. If He can call an 80-year-old man off the backside of the desert and lead over 3 million people out of bondage, then He has not left you behind. Settle down and relax in the will of God for you right now. You're at the will of God for you, and I don't even have to be a prophet. The will of God for you right now is to sit there and pay attention to what I'm saying. I'm telling you, it ain't just moving over here. It ain't just moving over. It's moving on you because you showed up tonight. That was the will of God. Amen. You're worshiping God tonight. That was the will of God. You take one day at a time and the Lord will take care of the rest. Hallelujah. And so with that being said, are you settled down yet? I'm trying to settle you down. I want you to relax. Praise God. I wish, Brother Jeremy, I wish I had some of your tea. Hallelujah. He made gallons of tea the other day. I wish we'd give everybody a cup of tea and just let you chill right now. I wouldn't look at my wife because she said, because there's no tea and there's no food and drink in the sanctuary. You may be seated. And that was an illustration, so I can use it. Just use it for a spiritual illustration. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so I just want you to chill out. And here's the reason why. Because the Lord needs help. The Lord needs help. Praise God. Amen. And so and where does he need help? He needs help right here at Landmark. Right here at Landmark. Amen. And Sister Mimi, this popped out because I was just fresh in Bible study. I hope I can use this illustration from Bible study last night about the pineapple cake. Would that be okay? Was it you that made the pineapple cake for Brother Belcher? He got so selfish about that cake. He went straight home, and one of his family members said, "Listen, I thought, who was it? Jacob and Esau, man. Because this guy said, I really need a piece of that cake. And Brother Belcher said, you ain't getting it. That's my cake. That's my cake. And so this is what was going on over your cake. And listen, let me tell you the results. This fellow looked at, and he hasn't been to church. And he looked at Brother Belcher, and he said, "Listen, give me a piece of that cake, and I'll be there Sunday." Now, you clap your hands, but Brother Belcher said, "No, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. No, no, he didn't." He said, "He said you're welcome to it." And so this individual is going to be here Sunday. Why? Because Sister Mimi made a pineapple cake. Why not? Why not? Hallelujah. You can't tell me that pineapple cake was not in the direct will of God. Hello? Praise God. Hey, General Conference didn't come. Amen. None of that business. Just a pineapple cake. That's all it took. Somebody's going to be here Sunday. Then somebody else, another relative told me that when they get here, they're going to cry like a baby because they're under conviction. And it could be that they get the Holy Ghost because of a pineapple cake. Relax. Let it unfold and watch what God can do with the most simplest thing that we are able to do right now until we hear further instructions. Amen. So Christianity is not a bless me club. It's not about me. Bless me all the time. You know you're going to be blessed. You've been blessed. You know what blessings are. But Christianity is not a club. It's a vocation. It has to become who we are. It has to become what we are. Amen. It bothers me until our newcomers can finally say, "My church." You know, you go visit them and they say, "You know, I love going to your church." And I'm going, "When is it going to be your church too?" Hallelujah. And then finally you get to hear them say, I just love my church and I just want to shout the victory because it has changed over to your church blesses me to the place that now my church is going to bless others. Because it became more than a social gathering, it became their vocation, who they are, what they represent. Am I making sense? Years ago, the concept of people was just go to church, pay your tithes, and go to heaven. And some of us still battle that concept. Amen. But all of us, we've got to get busy and become laborers for the kingdom of God. Amen. And so, what do I do? Whatever's available. I call you to do whatever's available, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what we need? Brother Gray will celebrate with me over this. We need more Bible study teachers. Order you a chart. Start teaching the Word of God. If you don't like the Bible and don't like teaching home Bible studies, how are you going to use in the Bible doing other things across the nation with your big tent and your semi-trucks? When you don't even want to teach a home Bible study. Are you hearing me tonight? Are we real or not? Come on. Let's do what we can do. Let this hand speak to that hand and say, we are going to serve the Lord with everything we can get our hands on until we know specifically what God has for us. It could be that, listen, it could be that the Lord will train you in a homeless shelter. It could be that He wants to train you in a home Bible study. It could be that He wants to teach you something in passing out tracts, knocking on doors, doing bus maintenance, doing van maintenance, changing the oil, sweeping, cleaning, vacuuming. Come on now. Sister Sandy comes to you and says, I need you to follow up on somebody. Amen. They visited our church. They need somebody to call them, write to them, go see them. Amen. You volunteer and say, ooh, pick me. Because that next level may have to come through follow-up visitation. We can't sit like lumps on a dill pickle and wait for the perfect will of God, because it ain't gonna happen if you can't be faithful in the little things. There's no way, Jose, that my God is gonna give you the responsibility of greater things. Help wanted, brother, for the title, help wanted. That's what we need. We need help. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't need people to come in here and use us to get where you're trying to get. Manipulate us to try to go where you're going. Hey, that don't work with the kingdom of God. You get in here and you serve like us. You worship like us. You pray like us. I know it's Bible study night, but I'm consumed with this. Because if there's anything that God needs, He needs laborers in the field and in the harvest, because it's almost home time. It's almost home time. I'm not prophesying anything, but I can't help but feel that there are young people that will not see 40 years old. They will not see 30 or 35 years old. I believe with all my heart that's how close we are to the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. We talk about building a new building when we've got plenty of seating right now on Tuesday night. Come on. Come on. We ought to go into that new building having to have several services on Sunday just to get everybody in here. And if I could just get everybody in the field doing whatever you can do, whatever you want to do, whatever you like to do, whatever you have a burden to do, stop begging God for things you don't know about and do what you know how to do. All we've got to do is seek God. All we've got to do is look toward God. All we've got to do is follow after God. Serve God. Lift Him up. I'm telling you right now, He has our name. He has our address. He has our number. And anytime He wants to make contact with you, He will do it, because it is inevitable. It's coming. It's coming. But it will not come if we're just sitting and waiting and doing nothing until it comes. Right? Hallelujah. If you want to get anything done in the church, here's what you got to do. Go to somebody that is already multitasking and very busy. That's who's going to get it done. They will just simply say, no problem, and add it to all of their list and get it done. Don't go to somebody that's just got this little one thing and they're still thinking about it, because it won't get done. You'll have to follow up on it several times a day, and you'll have to push it once a week. And then eventually you might get something done, but it won't be anything like it needed to be. Because their heart's not in it. Their spirit's not in it. They're waiting for that call from God. What on earth are you doing, for heaven's sake? What are we doing, for heaven's sake? Amen. I preached a sermon one time and I thought people were going to fall on the floor when I titled it, "What in Hell Do You Want?" Well, there is nothing in hell that we should want. Nothing. And so let's go home. Young people, don't get free with that word now, since Pastor said that, because I meant that literally. Amen. We chase the world and we chase fashion and we chase junk in the world like there's something in hell that we have got to have, when there is literally absolutely nothing in hell that we need. Amen. And so I'm just saying, we need help. Praise God. Praying is for you. Church is for you. Holiness is for you. When you're working for God, you're doing something, somebody else, to help somebody else simply to be saved. Amen? What are you doing for God? Are you helping somebody to be saved? Or to stay saved? Help wanted. We need men, women, young people with a burden. And compassion. Praise God. Amen. I love construction. I love to see things being built. Amen. This church is under construction, always has been, always will be, and we will be till the rapture takes place. I'm glad I don't pastor dead, dry, stale, and stagnant work. We're busy as beavers here at Landmark. What I'm saying is, we're accepting applications for others as well. Somebody said, well, I'm going to go find me a little church that really needs me. If you'll hear what I'm saying right now, you'll understand something that you may not have known. And that is, the bigger the church, the more help they need. The bigger the church, the more help they need. Because that one that's multitasking and taking on all of the jobs, they need some love. They need some help. They need some compadres that'll come up beside them and say, let me take a little bit of that. I think I can take care of that. Show me how to do that, and I'll help you with it. Are you hearing me? Amen. So we need some help. Praise God. Amen. So I just love to see things being built. We're accepting people for Saturday visitation. Oh, man, I thought you were going to say something great. If you can't do Saturday visitation, forget everything else that's supposed to come. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. And we need people, I've already mentioned them, follow up. Brother Harris. Brother Ronnie, do you know how many people that we have reached out to in the prison systems? 1,800 letters have gone to the prison systems. And that's a lot of letters. And that's a lot of, and these letters are Bible studies. And so, but that is just a fragment of what could be going on. Simple letter sent. Staying with it. 10-week Bible study. Going through the mail to an inmate, someone in prison that can't come to our church, but we can take our church to them. Does that ring a bell for anybody? Does that ring a bell for anybody? Hello? There's one thing we cannot deny from the pulpit to you, and that is, I used to say pulpit to pew. Bless God, in a new church I will too. Because these chairs wiggle too much. Our poor people cleaning the church, man, they have to straighten that stuff up. Anyway, from the pulpit to you, every one of us know without an audible voice that we're supposed to be soul winners. And we have all sorts of ways to do that from this church. Pick two or three of those ways and let's get busy for the glory of God. Why don't you lift your hands and praise the Lord and ask God to lay it on your heart. Hallelujah. The destiny and the efficiency of this gospel depends on us. We need painters. We need people that will see visitors that are coming and adopt one of them. Adopt them. That's exactly right. You hang with them for 3 or 4 months until they get solidified and get other friends and let them know you love them and care for them. You're going to call them. When they're sick, you're praying for them. Amen. We have a ministry that sends out cards for people that are sick, people that have sick loved ones, and on and on. Some of you didn't even know we had that. Hallelujah. Find these people if that hits you in the heart and be a part of that. Praise God. And be benevolent. A little love goes a long way with people that are lonely. Amen. I've seen it. I haven't seen it overwhelmingly because it doesn't happen a lot. But I've seen people, first-time visitors, walk around like they're lost, while all of us good old church folks were just fellowshipping and laughing and having a blast with one another. Listen, all it would take is a small fistful of people to just stop what they're doing and look around for that individual that's walking around like they're lost and don't know anybody and don't know what to do, and go up beside them and say, "Hey, what's your name?" "My name is so-and-so." "Hey, I feel a kindred spirit about you. I want to get to know you. I'm so glad you came today. Let's go to McDonald's. You like coffee?" "I love coffee." You've already made a friend, and they have too. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm serious. This stuff is very serious. We don't think about it because we've had friends for so long. We've had our group for so long, and we've had loved ones and all of that for so long. But listen, there are people that are going to die of loneliness in the middle of the crowd if we don't have somebody that will look toward them and love them. Amen. Praise God. I'm constantly, and I'm just going to reveal something to you, but I'm constantly, amen. Somebody's sitting out there that I don't know, I'll walk over. You see me walk over and talk to these guys, I'm asking them, "Who is that guy back there in the yellow shirt?" And usually one of them will know because they've already shaken their hand before service or something, or if they don't know, they're going to get to the usher and find out from the usher or who, because I want to know. After service, I want to walk up and call their name and shake their hand. But I can't. Listen, the bigger the church, the more help we need. It is impossible for me to get to everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. And I can't stand at the back door like that little church with four and no more and shake everybody's hand that's going home. Not when I've got about 15 people that need some serious counseling like right now. I can't even get away from the altar. They need it so desperately. And I don't want that to stop. Amen. So, only a handful of people is all it would take to recognize those that need a friend. The destiny and the efficiency of the gospel depends on us. The hope of this world and the hope of the city, it lies right here in this sanctuary. If it is going to be what it ought to be, then everybody shout, "It's up to me. It's up to me." Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what a Pizza Hut man said one time? He stood on a piece of dirt And he said, this would be a good place for a Pizza Hut. I stood in the middle of a horse pasture one day, and I said, this would be a good place to have a church. I would really love somebody to stand with me tonight and say, this would be a good place to have more people teaching home Bible study. So I'm going to join the team. This would be a good place to do follow-up, and I'm going to join the team. This would be a good place to work my way into Sunday school department, and I want to be on the team. This would be a good place to be a prayer warrior. This would be a good place to be one of the greatest worshipers this church has ever seen. This would be a good place. This would be a good place. This would be a good place. I promise you tonight that the Lord will never, ever use anybody that is not busy. If you're waiting to get busy for Him to talk to you, then you'll never be busy. But when He looks and sees how busy you are doing whatever you can possibly do, then He's going to begin to design something specific for you because you have proven yourself to be faithful. Praise God. Amen. This world is going to burn. Literally, it is going to burn one day. But the soul that you save will live on forever. There's nothing we can do about the world. But there's a ton of things that we could accomplish for that soul that needs God. Amen? Elisha sacrificed his oxen. Just remained standing. He bid his family goodbye. Working for God takes time. Elijah stayed with Elijah, persevered Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, stayed with it. And because he stayed with it, stuck with it, and served the man of God like he did, Elijah went to heaven all right, but Elisha got a double portion. Proverbs 18 and 1, through desire, through a burning passion. That's what is going to precede accomplishments. Burning, heart-rending, piercing passion for people. Not position, not power, not authority recognition, but for people. This world's never going to run out of people. And that's why there's job openings all the time. Amen. Proverbs 6 and 6, come out the ranks of mediocrity. It doesn't make you feel big when God makes you learn from an ant, does it? That's what he told the great man of God. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. She provides her meat in the summer. Gathers food and harvest. Why? Because winter time's coming and she's preparing for it. Hallelujah. Not a whisk in the wind. Not a promise from something that's not God. But doing what I'm supposed to do, whatever I can do. And everybody said, until the inevitable. Hallelujah. We don't have pets at Landmark. We don't have favorites. We do not. We've been accused of being cliquish. Our leadership team is not a clique. Trust me. There's not many that could survive our leadership team. Because you don't get to hear how I talk to them. You say, well, how do you talk to them? Well, read the Word of God. Jesus talked to the crowd. He laid hands on all the sick and every one of them were healed. Laid hands on the blind. Blind eyes were opened. He got Simon Peter by himself in a leadership meeting and told him, said, you're of your father, the devil. You look just like your daddy. Did he not? So if you want to join the clique and you don't mind me talking to you like that every now and then, you're welcome to join the clique. But it's not a clique. They're servers. They're people that their only ambition is to please God. And if there's anybody around that can give them any word to help them do that, then they're gladly accept it. No matter how it comes. No matter how it falls. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, the wisest man in the world had to learn a lesson from an ant that day. He learned another lesson one day from a spider. I can see him with his morning newspaper all rolled up, headed to his easy chair, walking down the hall, and there's a spider in it. And he said, "Where did that come from?" And right when he got ready to just flatten it against the wall, something came to him. He said, "The spider takes hold with her hands, and she lives in king's palaces." Because that spider was in a king's palace that day. It was so important. It was such a revelation from God until he put it in the Word of God. He said, "She takes hold with her hands, and she crawls herself out of the stables, out of the darkness, out of the exterior, and winds up in the king's palace, right in his hallway, and she builds her home." It's humbling when a king learns a vital lesson from a spider. But if we would humble ourselves tonight and just do whatever we can do, step by step, you're going to crawl out of whatever it is you may be in, and you're going to make your way to the king's palace. And when he comes by, he's not going to flatten you against the wall. He himself will learn something from you. That's when you get to the place and you look down and you say, "How did I get up here?" Praise God. And so, no, we don't have pets and favorites, but we do have people that are available. And that's the people we ask to do tasks. Amen. It's a lazy generation, but this is not a lazy church. This is a great church. And it is saturated with great people. We just need more. That's the only problem we have. We just need more. Amen. Sister Amanda Marshburn is teaching her kids to sign language. The other day, Cooper was with me. His mother and dad were not even around. And I gave him a little something, and he looked at me and he said, Pop. I looked over at him. He said, more. So he gave me that sign. He taught me how to say more. I want more. I want more from God. And I want to be able to give more to God. And we need more people that will do for God. Do we have any volunteers tonight? Maybe you'd take a moment and come and stand with me. Just a moment. To just let the Lord know that, "Lord, I'm stepping up. Not for a position, but to position myself for you, your will and your way, for your guidance, direction, for your spirit, your power and presence. I just want to position myself for the leadership and the authority of the Holy Ghost. I just want to place myself in that particular place for your will to be done."